Nye was right. For Dewey and Dunce, patient professionals had gradually narrowed the prisoner's life story to the events of the last 7 weeks, then reduced those to a concentrated recapitulation of the crucial weekend, Saturday noon to Sunday noon, November 14th to 15th. Now, having spent 3 hours preparing the way, they were not far from coming to the point. Dewey said, "Perry, let's review our position. Now, when you received parole, it was on condition that you never return to Kansas." "The Sunflower State." I cried my eyes out.
"Feeling that way? Why did you go back?
You must have had some very strong reason."
"I told you. To see my sister. To get the money she was holding for me."
"Oh, yes. The sister you and Hickok tried to find in Fort Scott. Perry, how far is Fort Scott from Kansas City?"
Smith shook his head. He didn't know.
"Well, how long did it take you to drive there?"
No response.
"1 hour? 2? 3? 4?
The prisoner said he couldn't remember.
"Of course you can't. Because you've never in your life been to Fort Scott." Until then, neither of the detectives had challenged any part of Smith's statement. He shifted in his chair. With the tip of his tongue, he wet his lips.
"The fact is, nothing you've told us is true. You never set foot in Fort Scott. You never picked up any 2 girls and never took them to any motel."
"We did. No kidding."
"What were their names?"
"I never asked."
"You and Hickok spent the night with these women and never asked their names?"
"They were just prostitutes."
"Tell us the name of the motel."
"Ask Dick. He'll know. I never remember junk like that."
Dewey addressed his colleague.
"Clarence, I think it's time we straightened Perry out."
Dunce hunched forward. He is a heavyweight with a welterweight's spontaneous agility, but his eyes are hooded and lazy. He drawls, each word, formed reluctantly and framed in a cattle country accent, lasts a while.
"Yes, sir," he said. "About time."
"Listen good, Perry, because Mr. Dunce is going to tell you where you really were that Saturday night. Where you were and what you were doing."
Dunce said, "You were killing the Clutter family."
Smith swallowed. He began to rub his knees.
"You were out in Holcomb, Kansas, in the home of Mr. Herbert W. Clutter. And before you left that house, you killed all the people in it."
"Never. I never."
"Never what?"
"Knew anybody by that name. Clutter."
Dewey called him a liar, and then, conjuring a card that in prior consultation the 4 detectives had agreed to play face down, told him,
"We have a living witness, Perry. Somebody you boys overlooked."
A full minute elapsed, and Dewey exulted in Smith's silence, for an innocent man would ask who was this witness, and who were these Clutters, and why did they think he'd murdered them? Would, at any rate, say something. But Smith sat quiet, squeezing his knees.
"Well, Perry?
You got an aspirin? They took away my aspirin."
"Feeling bad?"
"My legs do."
It was 5:30. Dewey, intentionally abrupt, terminated the interview.
"We'll take this up again tomorrow," he said. "By the way, do you know what tomorrow is?"
"Nancy Clutter's birthday."
"She would have been 17.